Now, it's time for Backseat Mogul
with R. Scott Bolton.
He talks about showbiz because showbiz won't talk about him.
Showbiz is a cruel and shallow money trench, a long plastic hallway where thieves and pimps run free and good men die like dogs for no good reason. There's also a bad side.
This is the Backseat Mogul Show, live here on Rough Edge FM. I am R. Scott Bolton, also known as... No, this is the wrong show. I am R. Scott Bolton. I am the Backseat Mogul. And I'm sorry, but I told John. The first thing I say to John is, mics are hot, and the first thing he does is swear. Dude, you gotta pay attention. Wake up. Johnny.
Whoa, where am I?
Okay, you're on a show. Focus. This is the Backseat Mogul Show, the PG-rated show, so that the first word out of your mouth should not be the SH word.
How'd I get here?
You know what? You're joking, but we all worry about that at the same time. Backseat Mogul Show. I am the R. Scott Bolton. I am the Backseat Mogul, and this is the show where we talk about show business. Today, I have no idea what we're going to talk about because I just sat down to the computer here. We ran in here. I had to get a feature artist a week, and I got a great one. The Jubilee Riots. We'll be playing some of them later. And then we'll figure out what we're going to talk about, because right now, I have no idea. We can talk about Halloween.
Yes.
Halloween was last night. You went back to your home. Did you do anything
back
exciting?
To my cave. Well, it is kind of a cave. I know. It is a cave.
It's not a man cave. It's more like a rat cave.
That's a bear cave.
It's more like a rat cave. But anyway.
I got no rats. I got no pin either.
Okay. John, show. Focus.
I am. I'm here.
Barely.
See? Bear. See, so you said went bear. Bear cave.
I don't want to think of you as that bear kind of cave. All right. So you went back to the rat cave, a bear cave, and what did you do anything? Did you go to sleep and that's your Halloween?
No, I got on my computer, and...
This could be a long story, folks.
I pretty much... Actually, I really didn't do much of anything.
All right. That's perfect.
Yeah, I'm being honest. I didn't do much of anything.
I had an incredibly busy night. It was just insane. We went did the Friday Shot Day show, and it was a pretty good Friday Shot Day show yesterday. A lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
A little wild.
Yes, it was.
Then we went from there. We went home. We waited for the kids to show up. No kids. Not a single
really?
Kid. The one kid that walked by our street walked by our house. And it was a little kid, and we have some bloody lights hanging out front, so maybe his mom thought it was too scary. But no kids. Zero.
Now, if I remember correctly, in years past, you've had just, you could count them on two hands. Except for last year, you had a lot of kids.
I had 18 last year, so it's not a lot of kids. But
That's more than two hands.
But I ran into my friends Lori and John last night, which we'll get to here shortly.
Did
but
you heard
oh, really? they had about 2,300 kids.
Well, that's why they kidnapped them.
That may be. Maybe they took all the kids. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's the kids are out there. They're just not near my place, I guess. Unfortunately, waited for. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, do you think that the risk of rain coming in early may have...
I'm certain that had a lot to do with it. Like you said, we're never a really busy street anyway as far as trick-or-treating goes, so that probably had more to do with it than anything else. But it's disappointing. I love to see the kids' costume.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking next year, Lori and John said they always have a party. They always have... They make food, they have drinks, and they have everybody over, and they all look at the kids because 2,300 kids walking by in costume. That's fun. So I may go over to their house next year and hang out with them and see what's really going on for Halloween because I miss it. I miss... My mom's house, she only had 40 or 50 kids usually. But that was better than, six or like last night, zero. So disheartening.
I agree with you. It's not like it was when we were kids, when your parents couldn't wait till you got out of the house. And they knew the only fear they had is what trouble you would get into. Now it's people fear for their children.
I don't think that's what's keeping people away from trick-or-treating, though. There are other options. And let's not be fear-mongers, because I am sick to death
of
the fear-mongers.
I agree with you.
So let's stop that. Let's not even go there. Let's just, it just, there's 2,300 kids going to my friend Lori and John's house. There's no problem with Halloween trick-or-treaters. It just happens to be that I'm in an area with a street that's 45 miles an hour out front.
It is a busy street.
That had something to do with it. So anyway, we waited for the trick-or-treaters, They didn't show up. So Doug called and said, let's go to dinner. We said, okay. So we went out to La Cabana and had dinner. Saw our friends Miguel, who was dressed apparently as the world's greatest bartender because he looks exactly the same as he does every week. And
good costume.
Male bartender, by the way. We know who the female bartender is. That would be Jennifer. Uh-huh. But anyway, and then his assistant, Sylvia, she was dressed as a cat. And she was a cute little cat. And we had dinner there. And we drove from there out to the Dead Zone 805 here in Ventura. The zombie run put together by Nelson Cooper. You can look up Nelson Cooper, by the way, at Facebook by going to Facebook.com and just search for Nelson Cooper Studios. You'll be amazed at what this man does. He creates zombie and monster makeup. He's a tattoo artist. He's just blows my mind. He paints. He had a portrait of Tim Burton that I would just fell in love with. I would love to have it, but you know I can't afford Nelson Cooper. But even though he's probably not as expensive as say Michelangelo, did Michelangelo paint? Yes,
the Sistine Chapel.
Sistine Chapel. But, okay, I was trying to think of a
joke.
It'd be
kind of hard to put that in a frame, though. Big frame.
I think it is in a frame, as a matter of fact.
Well, yeah, the building is a frame, basically.
Yeah,
the Sistine Chapel. He painted the ceiling.
Yeah, we got that, John.
Big frame.
Moving on now. This may
Nelson
be,
Cooper is this, a very young man.
If
dude.
You listen to next week's show and John's not here, you'll know why. Anyway,
that's actually funny.
So we went to the Dead Zone 805, and it was a blast. You go into this maze, and your task is to find three items: a gas can, a first aid kit, and some other kind of kit. I forget what it is. And as you're going through this maze, and you have a guide this time, so it kind of leads you through it. As you're going through this maze, these zombies are trying to get you from all angles, and they're hiding in corners. They come lurching out, and you've got a red flag that you dangle out of your front pocket. And if the zombie gets that, you're dead. You still finished the maze, but you didn't succeed. So anyway, it's got all these monsters, all these great special effects, all these great set pieces. And then when you're all done, you come out and you can take your picture with a zombie or something like that. But when we came out, there was Nelson standing there looking all happy. Hey, did you like it? Did you like it? Oh, man, it was great. So we don't know where the Dead Zone is going to be held next year, but it will be back next year.
Great.
And we'll talk about it when the time comes because it is a great event and we had a lot of fun there last night. So then from the Dead Zone, we went home and we put on our costumes. Shelly had a simple costume of a scarecrow. She basically had a straw hat, a flannel shirt, and did some makeup on her face. And I decided I was going to be a Western star, cowboy type. I don't want to say cowboy because it wasn't really... I guess it kind of is. It's the Clint Eastwood kind of character from those. So I threw a poncho over me, got a cowboy hat. And
okay, yeah, like from for a few dollars more, a fistful of dollars.
Kind of like that kind of thing, yeah. And then,
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We ordered
and you were all three. Okay.
Remember next week, folks. And so we go to the keynote, and we're sitting there, we're having a couple of drinks, and there's friends of my mom's across the way. One of their I think sons was playing in the band there, a band called Unusual Suspects. Great band, by the way. Mm-hmm. Full makeup for the show. It was doing the Halloween thing. It was great. And they were playing some great dance music. And then this woman walks in from the, and I'm, you know, I don't know who, she's walking down the hall, and she's easily the eeriest costume of the night. It was weird. And all of a sudden I realized it's my mom. She dressed up as a zombie. She went and got this tattered costume, and she made up her face and wigged out her hair. And she was genuinely scary. There's a picture of her on Facebook. If you go to our Facebook, I don't know if it's on the Friday Shot Day Show page, but we'll get it up there if it's not. And so we danced and we drank and we had fun. Lori and John came by. They were soaking wet because they walked from to the bar from their home, which is just right around the corner, basically. Mm-hmm. But it started raining right about that time. And then we danced and we drank and we had fun. And then at the end of the night, there was the contest, the costume contest. Well, we didn't bother to enter because, like I said, we just threw our costumes together. But mom did. She was number 21. She won second place.
Nice.
In Halloween contest.
We'll beat her out.
$50 for for the bar tab there. The costume that beat her out was actually pretty funny, even though it was quite disgusting. It was basically a bad grandpa version of a man dressed as a woman.
I can imagine what that... Who?
It was bad. Nobody I knew. Nobody I knew. But it was because nobody I knew would go out in public like that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So as you can see, and then we came home, of course. I tried to watch a scary movie, and the next thing I woke up, it was 3:30 in the morning, and I was asleep in front of the TV. So no scary movie for me last night.
I think, well, with my birthday being so late in October, as a kid growing up, I always, most of the time I had Halloween birthday parties.
Makes
costume
sense.
Parties. And, you
That's know, fun.
My mom would make my costumes, and she made some of the best costumes. Our friend, Joe Jean.
Yes.
Makes her kids' costumes.
She does great.
Every year. And she does. She does great. And you know, that's what my mom did. And that's I think that's one of the things I really like about her, because she really gets involved with her kids. And that's cool.
It is. And she loves it, too. They are her life. And you can tell that. So, yeah, she could be. We see her photos of the children mm-hmm. on Facebook as well. That's one thing that's nice about Facebook. You know, if it wasn't for Facebook, we probably wouldn't right. have any idea what's going on in Jennifer's life.
And I got to tell you, her daughter, I cannot believe it's like looking at Jennifer. I mean, obviously, I don't look anything like my parents. So maybe I'm adopted or stolen or both. Anyway, but she looks exactly like her mom when we first met her.
Okay, I'll take your word
and
for it.
I haven't done
the research, but apparently you have.
Well, no, when you look at pictures of her, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, and, you remember when she was born.
Jennifer? No.
No,
I didn't meet her
until
she was over 21 working at a bar.
Her daughter.
I know what you're talking about.
But it's like, wow. I can't believe that kid is that old now. God, I'm old.
You are really old. Had your birthday show yesterday.
Yeah, 72.
Happy 72nd. Yeah. Very nice job. All right, this is time for our featured artist of the week. This is a band or an act called Jubilee Riots, and this track is called Two Bare Hands. When we come back, we're going to figure out what the show's going to be about, and we'll talk about it then. But right now...
No, I know what it's about. Us. Well, okay, in my mind.
Next week, empty seat. We'll be back right after this.
We're so grateful for the ones we rely on, who lean back upon us, it seems so strong. But a time comes when there's no one around you. You do all that you can do with your brain and your brawn. Harden.
This is the Backseat Mobile Show live here on Rough Edge FM. I am R. Scott Bolton. Johnny D is sitting over there, and that was our featured artist of the week. That's a act called Jubilee Riots. And let me tell you a little bit about Jubilee Riots. Northern Roots act Jubilee Riots is a band that is very much centered around telling stories that resonate with truth and authenticity, as is evidenced by their latest outing, Penny Black. Inspired by years of touring, meeting people, and sharing stories over late-night drinks at the bar with fans, the band put out the call for people around the world to submit their stories as inspiration for their upcoming album. Letters came from across the globe, from the band's native Canada to locales as far away as Japan and Australia, each carrying the weight of one fan's emotional tale. Says bass player Mark Abraham, there were all sorts of letters. Some were dark and anonymous and difficult to read, but many were funny or embarrassing, the kind of life events that had happened to all of us. You can check out some of that new music at their website, which is JubileeRiots.com, and we'll be playing some more Jubilee Riots shortly here on the Backseat Mobile Show. So Johnny wants to talk about TV.
Yep. Not just TV. It's this time of year, Halloween.
Halloween's over. It's Thanksgiving now.
I know. But as a kid, I used to really enjoy watching, you know, my favorite shows. They would have, depending on the time of year, they'd have episodes for what was going on. Like there'd be a Halloween episode or a Thanksgiving episode and so on.
Which is terrible later on when they run them in the repeats, but I know what you're saying.
Well, yeah. And I was disappointed that shows aren't doing that anymore. A few have. They'll touch down a little bit, but it's they're not getting into the festiviousness of the season, of whatever the season is.
Festiviousness?
Well, like NCIS, one of my favorite shows. The character, Abby Shuto, she is kind of a goth chick. Well, not kind of, she is a goth chick. But Halloween is her Christmas. Her character always does extravagant stuff. And they barely touched on it. They had a hand like a thing from the Addams Family, and that was pretty much about it.
The problem with those kind of shows is that they're I would imagine they're difficult to write year after year after year, you know, and not get hokey. And I think even you'll admit this, a lot of the holiday shows end up being kind of hokey. Mm-hmm. And that's okay sometimes, but didn't Hawaii Five-0 do a Halloween episode last night?
I didn't watch it yet.
I think they did.
And the same thing with Blue Bloods. I will watch them this weekend.
I would not want a show that's, and I don't watch Blue Bloods, but I understand that it's a good show and a quality show. I wouldn't want a show like Blue Bloods to do a Halloween episode. I wouldn't want Boardwalk Empire to do an episode based around a holiday, which is gone now, unfortunately. But
just touchdown. Like I remember last year, or year before, on Blue Bloods. They touched down just a little bit. The aunt.
Everybody in Blue Bloods is related to each other, which is why I can't stand to watch him.
But the daughter of Tom Selleck's character, she dressed up as a witch, a really nice looking witch. Okay, I'll say it, a sexy witch, and she took her nephews out trick or treating, and because you know they're still that age. They touched down on it. That's all. That's all I asked. Just touched down on it, and I won't know until I watch it this weekend. But that's what I miss. These shows, they're getting away from the festiviousness.
Festiviousness.
I don't know if I'm making up a word.
You're
or not.
Making up a word.
That sounds pretty good, though.
I kind of like it. Festiviousness.
Or you may use it.
I don't think so.
But you know, it's. Just recognize what that is.
But you understand the problem later when it's running in the middle of the summer on a repeat or on a syndication thing, that it's the middle of summer and they're running the Christmas episode.
So that doesn't bother me because I know.
So it doesn't bother you when they're doing a holiday show and it's not a holiday, but it bothers you when it's a holiday and they're not doing a holiday show.
If it's a first run. Yeah, if it's a if it's a second generation of it or if it's syndication, that doesn't bother me. But when it's first run,
I'm just trying to find out where you're going. Now I understand.
I mean, I even remember Gilligan's Island doing a Halloween episode.
Oh, and when we're talking about classic quality television, Gilligan's Island is the first thing that comes to
mind.
Well,
when you stop and think about it, in its day for a sitcom, which I don't even know if that term had been coined yet.
It had.
But Gilligan's Island was one of the tops.
In the ratings?
Yes.
I'm not sure they got a
people,
lot of...
Hey, people don't think were
it
watching
got,
it.
Don't think it got a lot of Emmy nominations. Even then, people knew it was silly, John. Let's be fair.
Well,
they knew it was silly.
Exactly.
Okay.
And little boys watched it for Marianne. Not Ginger.
No, I think it was a little both. I know the argument today is that Marianne was hotter than Ginger. But Ginger had a lot more cleavage that she displayed a lot more often.
Yeah, but Marianne wore less clothes.
That's absolutely true. Wow, I can't believe this conversation has deteriorated to that.
Okay, one of our favorite shows, I know it's one of your favorite shows, Castle. They always used to touch down on... Now, I haven't watched this week's episode yet, so
yeah,
I don't know.
You probably should.
Okay. Because you remember the first Halloween episode they had?
No.
Oh, I do. Because what is...
I love Castle, but I just don't live Castle, apparently.
Okay. Nathan Fillion, what is... In our world.
Oh, I do remember.
What is he most known
well,
for?
Well, people see him in the streets and they nod and say, Captain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Captain
Maul from Firefly and Serenity.
Yes. Well, that first Halloween episode, he's getting ready to go to a Halloween party. He's all dressed up as Captain Maul. And I think his daughter says, you've been there.
Yeah, something like that. Uh-huh.
And it was perfect.
That was
I loved it.
That, obviously they did that for the reason. I mean, yes, Nathan Fillion is now Castle without question.
Yes.
But he will always be Captain Maul, and he loves being Captain Maul. And I think that's great too, by the way.
And I've heard talk Captain that Maul. They may still do a reunion.
They did. They just did a reunion. They all got back together and they're doing it all over again.
No, I mean a show.
For the video game.
No, I mean for...
I know what you mean, but I'm telling you that they...
Oh, sweet.
That the original cast got back together and they did their voices for a video game.
They bring the two dead guys
to be
back?
Released. I don't know when the video game takes place.
Oh, okay.
But you should have said spoiler alert first, because now people won't watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I don't know. They, I didn't say which dead guys.
That's true.
And guys could be girls or guys.
In John's
with
world.
This crew.
I love that show, and we're not going to go off on a tangent on that, but I absolutely love... Firefly and the movie that followed it, Serenity, they make a perfect package. If they never make another one, and I really hope they do, I don't think they will, because when are they going to get that group together again? I'd be very happy, but I just love what they've got.
Yeah.
That, what is it, 12 or 13 episodes, and then the movie. And it's if you watch the episodes and then watch the movie, it's a perfect package. It tells a complete tale with the movie ending it perfectly. Man, I love that movie.
But you remember when the series was in its first run? They showed the last few scenes out of order.
That's not true. Let's try it again.
Oh, I thought it was.
No. The network decided to show the series out of order. Not the scenes. The series.
That's what I meant, series.
So they instead of running them in the order they were shot so that they made sense, they aired them out of order and all of a sudden everybody was lost. Yeah, stupid. They did it because, oh no, there's more action in these. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a chronological story, you twits.
Yeah.
That's
the suits for you.
That's why the backseat mogul. They should have come to the backseat mogul and said, what should we do here? And I would have told them, don't do that. Run them in order. If you want to build an audience for the show, you have to tell the story. Just tell the story. Is that all you got?
Wow. Sun went behind the clouds.
It is very cool here to be sitting here at the new Rough Edge Studios with glass on two walls. And the sun coming through, it's not too bright. It's bright, but it's not like it was at the other place where it was baking your face. But yeah, I don't know if you listeners can tell or not, but the sound quality is, hopefully you can tell. The sound quality here is much better. We don't have all the freeway noise that we had at the other place. We were right in the freeway. And even though we had our soundproofing up, there's no way to prevent it getting in. The only thing we have here is a train that goes by once in a while. And you will hear that, I promise you. But it's just quieter. And we're going to be upgrading our equipment piece by piece here in the next few years. And it's going to keep getting better and better. And then we'll be working on improving the quality. Hey, of the shows. Johnny, we got a new show starting next week here on the Rough Edge FM, if all goes well. It's a show all about anime.
Did you say Adam A or anime?
I said anime.
Okay, sounded almost like you said Adam A.
Yeah, because that would have made sense, because everybody knows who Adam A is.
Well, no, I thought maybe you... Okay, did he say Adam A or did he say Adam Ant? They're both entertainment.
Yeah, we're going to have a show next week, folks. John won't be here next week, by the way, in the Backseat Mogul show. But we're going to have a new show here next week about anime. It'll be starting right after the Backseat Mogul here on Rough Edge FM. It's going to be hosted by Devin Crow. He's going to come in and talk about anime, bring some guests in, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So check that next week. We haven't got a title
yet. Are these 7- and 8-legged guests that he's bringing in?
6- or 8-legged. I don't think there are any 7-legged insects in the world.
Well,
and that's, of course, you do some doctoring on them.
Well, okay.
Yeah. No.
It is Halloween, after
all. He's not going to be bringing in his critters. Devin, in case you guys are wondering what the heck John's talking about and where he'll be next week, is talking about Devin is a collector of insects. He has literally hundreds of spiders at his home that he collects and other things as well, including the cockroaches to which he feeds them. But anyway, Devin will be hosting his own show next week, starting out with an anime show. We're working on a title. It's really tough to come up with an anime title. In fact, if you have any suggestions, email them to us at backseatmogul@roughedge.com because we got nothing. Everything we come up with, somebody else has already taken in one form or another. So we're trying to come up with a title for the anime show. It may be the anime show with Devin Crow because then nobody can tell. It's just plain and simple like that.
I like it.
What are you doing now?
Notes.
Oh, I thought you were looking at your phone. I don't know if you people look at the podcast. When you look at the podcast, we have a section where we list the notes about what the show was. John writes about 14 pages of notes in tiny type, crunched together for me every week, and I take 50 words from it. But it gives him something to do.
I still a costume. Okay, when you read my notes and it says custom, that's supposed to be costume.
Put an E at the end of it. This, once again, is our featured artist of the week.
Thank you.
This is Jubilee Riots with a track called Live the Life here on the Backseat Mogul Show on Rough Edge FM. By the way, this is from their new album, Penny Black. This is Jubilee Riots, Live the Life.
Like a monarch in El Paso. It's a rusty bus on the mountainside, and we're passing with our eyes closed. If your body's sore, it's 'cause you've done something. If the sun is in your eyes, then you're alive. If your heart,
You're listening to the Backseat Mogul Show live here on Rough Edge FM, and that was our featured artist of the week. That was a band called Jubilee Riots, and that was a track called Live the Life from their new album, Penny Black. And you can check them out at jubileeriots.com.
I like that. It was a...
Hold on. Try it now.
I like that. Oh, much better.
Yeah, that makes it better.
No, I like that song. It was kind of a... it was almost, if not, an Irish jig type song. I liked it.
It did have a little Irish in it.
Oh, I liked it.
I heard that there as well. Let's talk about some stuff going on in the world out there. Here's something I think. This is an interesting article I found on cinemablend.com. You know how the thing right now is comic book heroes. I mean, those are the biggest movies, the big, most expensive movies. We've moved away from the big action movies that I like into these big action movies of comic books, which they're okay. I just don't enjoy them as much as I do, say, Commando or something like that.
Right.
But you know, they're okay. And we were talking just recently about the new trailer for the new Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty good. It's not out till 2015, middle of 2015, so it seems a little early. But... you know, it's coming soon. It is, of course, November, so time's going fast.
Which I'm surprised that they didn't, now let me rephrase that. I wonder what the holdup was for them to not release it for Christmas.
I'm going to translate that for you and say, are you wondering why they didn't wait until Christmas to release it?
No, this Christmas.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm just was translating. Cause
instead of waiting till next summer.
I don't know. You think they would have attached it to some Thanksgiving hit or something and put that on there. But I think that the internet's become an more important marketing tool than getting it in front of a theater.
Yeah.
Because everybody can download the trailer and watch it on the internet, which I absolutely love. When I was younger, and of course we didn't have the internet like we do today, I loved trailers. I would go... I actually have gone to movies just because a certain trailer was playing before it. Stupid, but I have actually done that. Nowadays, you don't have to do that. You can download any trailer you want to find on the internet. Eventually, the studio tries to play hide and seek from you because they know that you want something you can't have more than you want something you can have. So by releasing a trailer and then, oh, that was leaked, and deleting it, everybody hunts for it, blows up the internet. It's very, very smart marketing. But I love that fact. And what did you think of the new Avengers movie trailer?
It's, wow. I enjoyed it. I really like the actor who voices the antagonist.
James Spader?
Bad guy. Yeah.
Spader's great.
Yeah, he is. And it's like... he's doing Raymond Reddington's voice.
You see, I don't
and that
get
that character.
I don't get that. I think you're hearing James Spader. Spader does have a certain cadence, but I don't think he's doing Raymond Reddington. Well, he sounds different to me.
I've liked James Spader ever since I saw him in God, what was that movie?
I don't know. You're the one who saw it.
It spawned 3 TV series.
I don't know. You're the one that saw it. Happy Days.
No, that's not it. Yeah, that's it. No. the one where they go through the wormhole.
Stargate. Another reason you won't see John here next week.
Yeah. No. Yeah, but you... okay. Never mind. But anyway. I cracked myself up.
I'm glad somebody's laughing.
Well, hey, it's my best audience.
That's probably true. Get to your point.
No,
I've
liked his acting ever since then. And when he was on Boston Legal... oh, his character was fantastic.
He was terrific. He was. And he's great as Raymond Reddington. Yeah. He's created another character that he's going to be known for with Raymond Reddington. On that, by the way, Raymond Reddington is from The Blacklist, if you're not watching that on Monday nights on CBS, is it, I think?
I believe so. Yeah.
But anyway, great show. The Blacklist is a lot of fun, and Spader's great in it. You can't help but hear his voice and think of his previous characters. But I think he's different enough in the trailer there for Avengers. My only problem with the Avengers is, here is the thing they must remember. The Hulk is invincible. The Hulk is invincible. If the Hulk gets beat up in that movie and loses something, there's going to be really difficult for me to watch and enjoy that. Because, let's say it together, folks. The Hulk is invincible. The Hulk's only weakness is that... Bruce Banner doesn't want to be him.
Right.
That's his only weakness. Is his name Bruce Banner in the movie, or did they change his first name?
I want to say they changed
his first name.
No, I think it is Bruce.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I could be wrong.
Dr. Banner, now we're safe, doesn't want to be the Hulk. That's the Hulk's only weakness. Other than that, he should be the nuclear weapon that's unleashed whenever they need something that goes too far. Anyway, about comic book movies. I found this great article in Cinema Blend, and we're going to go through it right now. And it's 10 superhero costumes too sexually explicit for the movies. Now, when you hear that headline, John, I know there's one comic book character that pops instantly into your head. Okay, looking at the blank look on your face, I'm thinking maybe I'm wrong.
Well, we saw her last night. Wonder Woman.
Let me read the headline again. 10 superhero costumes too sexually explicit for movies. There is a Wonder Woman movie in the works, so I'm thinking that's probably not on the list.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, sorry, Sonya.
She did look very good last night.
They both look great. We had Sonya and Brian on the Friday Shot Day show yesterday, and because it was Halloween, they came in their costumes. Brian was Superman. He had a great Superman costume, and it kind of pissed me off because it fit him pretty good. And then Sonya came in, and she was Wonder Woman, and she looked great too.
Yeah, she did.
And I hope that they deserve to win some contests when they were out doing them themselves. They deserve that. Okay, so headline again, John.
Okay.
10 superhero costumes, too sexually explicit for movies.
Okay, well, Catwoman was not a superhero. She was more of a supervillain.
And she's in a movie, so apparently it's not too sexually explicit.
Okay. All right.
I'll tell you, and you'll go,
thank you.
Don't. Vampirella.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see.
Why can't
they, now are you in the same page?
Why can't they make that movie?
I think they did, actually. But the point is, you've seen her costume.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave a lot to the imagination.
Yeah. Well, that's like Elvira.
I think I picked the wrong topic. All right, moving on to the next page in this from... but really? I'm sorry, I'm looking at this article. I think I may have screwed up. Anyway, that's... Okay. So the next one in the list here is Nightwing. Now, Nightwing... You know, that's what Robin became. Robin became Nightwing.
Okay, I thought this was female superheroes.
Let me read the title to you again. 10 superhero costumes, too sexually explicit for movies.
Oh.
Does it say male? No. Does it say female? No. Does it say superhero costumes? Yes. Can superheroes be male or females? Yes. Catch up to the program.
All right, you said too sexy, so automatically my mind goes to women.
Nightwing. Now, if you look at Nightwing's costume, it's not that sexually explicit, so I'm not sure it fits this article, but it is ridiculous. It's a blue-black unitard with, like, gold wings spread out. It's got one of those flared collars that go up to the back of the head and chest deep all the way down, showing off his chest. It's like they say in the article, it's too disco. Not sure too explicit, but too disco.
Okay, now this is Nightwing?
Yes.
There was another comic book person... character who was similar to that, except he was like a Beastmaster type person. He had shirt or his coat, jacket, whatever it was, he had an open chest, and it had a deep V that, you know, showed his chest, but yet the jacket itself looked more like a lion, a leopard jacket.
Have you a point to this interlude, or is that you just wanted to spit that out?
No, when you were describing Nightwing, I was thinking of the other guy. And I don't remember what his character was.
Thanks, John. Thanks for that input. Next up, we've got Black Cat, and there's a photo here of Black Cat. She wears a skin-tight, looks like a rubber suit. Her ample bosom is pouring out. It looks puts Dolly Parton to shame. She's got flowing platinum blonde hair, and man, you could bounce a nickel off that
wow.
costume. Black Cat, too sexually explicit for the movies.
The Michael Keaton Batman, when we had Catwoman, that was for me, that costume was very sexy.
I did pick the wrong topic. Next on the list, we have Martian Manhunter. Have you heard of Martian Manhunter?
Yes.
From the Justice League? Martian Manhunter is looks kind of like a Vin Diesel type. Bald, big muscled, wears a cape with one of those big collars up there. Basically, he's got an X across his chest, and he's wearing what looks like women's panties beneath. It's actually like swim trunks. But yeah, so they apparently thought that Martian Manhunter might be too sexually explicit for the movies. Next up, we've got... See, this article just made me look like a fool. Not necessarily. 10 superhero costumes too sexually explicit for the movies. The key word is costumes, costumes, not characters.
Okay.
Wanted to kill you. Because the next character they have here is Catwoman. And they got a Catwoman laying in this, I guess it's on the edge of a building. She's on her back. She's got a skin-tight costume on. She's got the Dolly Parton cleavage going for her. And this suit she's wearing could not be tighter. Now, why do you think that they have sexually explicit? It's not actually good. Why do you think they have sexy costumes on anybody in the comic books? What do you think the reason for that is?
Because sex sells.
That's A. And also, who's reading those comics for the most part? Who are the comic books probably number one market?
Nerds.
Preteen and teen boys.
Yeah.
Who nerds. They're not necessarily nerds, but...
Have you watched Big Bang Theory? They're always in the comic book shop until it burned out.
And you know what? That's an excellent point, John, because whenever I want to find out what's going on in the world and what's life, to get a snapshot of the psychology of the planet, the first thing I go is, I got to watch Big Bang Theory.
Have you ever watched Comic Book Men?
I have not. I've seen the trailers for it and stuff. It looks like fun, but...
I rest my case. I like the show, but I rest my case.
Catwoman, this particular costume, too sexy for the movies. I can't imagine them putting that
but
in.
But Catwoman was not a superhero or heroine. She was a super villain.
John. At first.
Oh, well, okay.
Spider-Woman. Her costume is... Now, let me read you what it says here on Cinema Blend. Now, Spider-Woman isn't exactly a very revealing costume, but it's definitely form-fitting. In fact, it's skin-tight enough that you're very limited in the way you can pose the character in action, as evidenced in the comic cover scene around the internet. Typical superhero camera angles could come off as exploitative with the wrong framing. And get up over here and take a look at this. If you people go to Cinema Blend, you listeners, go to cinemablend.com and search for the 10 superhero costume too sexually explicit for the movies, you'll see what this means.
Whoa.
Yeah, it looks like she's wearing nothing.
That looks like a heart.
All right, John, you can sit down now. Thanks.
I can't.
You better. Spider-Woman, her costume is so skin tight, it looks like she's not wearing a thing on this particular.
She looks like she's got red skin.
There you go. Maybe she's been in the sun too long. Next on the list is Starfire, and I don't know Starfire myself. Starfire is from the Teen Titans, and her costume's very, very close to Vampirella's, except that she's floating in the air with fire all behind her. It's actually a very nice artwork there. Starfire, I don't know, but her costume that way as well. I think
when you stop and think about, okay, this is supposed to be a teen hero. Did they go a little overboard?
They mentioned that. They said, considering the fact she's a teen hero, she's apparently more mature than we thought. Eon Flux is next on the list here. And they did the movie with Eon Flux with Charlize Theron. I kind of enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, I did too.
And yeah, Charlize Theron could pull off that particular costume. This costume, however, is just a bra, some panties, and some thigh-high boots. They didn't use that in the movie, and it's too bad because I'd go watch it again. Mm-hmm. Next on the list we have... Buona Beast. You ever heard of Buona Beast?
That might be the guy I'm thinking about.
No, it's not, because Buona Beast basically wears one of those Nacho Libre masks, wrestling masks. He's got a bottle of potion around his neck. He wears a red striped loincloth that's barely there and red booties. Buona Beast. Yeah, I can see this is...
Okay.
Yeah, Buona Beast needs to find a tailor there. Next on the list, we've got Witchblade. Well, Witchblade is an adult comic. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Witchblade is a definite reason for Witchblade. It became a TNT show that they tamed the costume considerably. Her costume basically is looks like foam rubber shaped and adhered to the good bits of her body, and very little of them, by the way. So Witchblade costume.
I remember it was a short-lived series, but I remember that.
Yeah, it was short-lived, and there was never anything like this. I'm looking at this artwork in the movie. But again, Witchblade started out as an adult comic. It was designed for those 18, 17 and older, I'm sure. So I'm not sure that really counts here. All right, let's take a quick break, play another song by our featured artist of the week. This, once again, is Jubilee Riots, and this track is called Cut the Lights, here on the Backseat Mogul Show, Rough Edge FM. You're listening to the Backseat Mobile Show live here on Rough Edge FM. I am R. Scott Bolton. Johnny D is over there. And that was our featured artist of the week with a track called Jubilee Riots. No, the band is called Jubilee Riots. The track was called Cut the Lights, and it's from their album called Penny Black. You can pick that up anytime you'd like, and you can go to Jubilee Riots for more information, jubileeriots.com. Johnny.
Scotty.
What's going on over there?
Did you watch any Halloween-ish type movies?
I didn't. I started to. I was going through my DVDs last night trying to find something good to watch, because that's what I like to do when I'm waiting for the kids to come trick-or-treating. I put a movie on, and I watch the movie while I'm, you know, getting up every half hour to give two kids candy. And I was going through it last night, and no kids were showing up, and I couldn't find a movie. And then the Doug texted and said, let's go to La Cabana for dinner. And I said, sold! And we drove over there.
Is my mic on?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Okay. Oh, okay. My headphones.
Put your headphones
on.
Your headphones go over your ears.
I got to see three classic horror.
Oh, I was going to ask
movies.
You about that. You went to the Insomniac Cinema over here at the Regency Theater in Ventura.
On Thursday the 30th.
Mm-hmm. And what three movies did you see?
Well, they had triple feature night because of Halloween.
Yeah.
And the first one was Boris Karloff in Frankenstein.
Classic movie. Love that movie.
And actually, you know, a lot of people think that Frankenstein is the monster. It's Frankenstein's monster.
Dr. Frankenstein, or Frankenstein, depending which movie you're watching.
Yes, and but Boris Karloff as the monster, and I loved it. The second feature was Bela Lugosi as Dracula.
Another classic.
Yeah.
Eerie, creepy movie.
Mm-hmm. And
I do not drink wine.
Obviously, these were, I can't remember, either late 30s or early 40s.
Yeah, I think it's...
I think the 30s.
I think it's 30s, yeah. I think it's early 39. 30s. I think it's earlier than that. I think Frankenstein was 33.
That could have been. Maybe even 31. But, and then the third one, which, of the three, had the best technical, the best production values.
But is the worst movie of the three.
And the best acting. And I would even say direction.
No, I'm not going there. Sorry.
Well, it had a great cast. Had
Frankenstein was 31, by the way.
Okay. I saw, and now people are going to say you didn't say it right, but I saw The Wolf Man.
You said it right. You didn't say Wolf Man. Very good, John. I'm impressed.
Woof, woof.
The Wolfman is my least favorite of those three movies.
But it had the best production value.
Well, I think it's later. I'm pretty sure it's quite a few years later. Let's find. Yeah, it's 10 years later.
Yeah.
So it would have. And you got Claude Rains in it, so that's
Claude
awesome.
Claude Rains, the Wolfman, was played by Lon Chaney Jr.
That's right.
Now, his father, Lon Chaney Sr.,
was a Wolfman. That's where he got.
Yeah, exactly. No, he pretty much pioneered special effects makeup. Would you call it special effects back then?
I would. Well, of course.
But he pretty much pioneered.
And I did not know that.
If you watch the movie Man of a Thousand Faces, that's about Lon Chaney Sr.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And that would be a nice movie for them to remake with in color because it was shot in black and white.
Which one are you talking about?
Man of a Thousand Faces.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, it was a great movie. But also in that movie was, you said Claude Rains played his father.
Right.
Claude Rains, a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
And then, and I cannot remember the actor's name. All I can remember is he played Randolph. I think it was Randolph in Trading Places. I can't remember the actor's name.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name either.
Ralph Bellamy.
There you go.
That's who it was, Ralph Bellamy. I think he played Randolph, or did he play the other?
So I'm guessing that you're the opposite of me. The way you're talking, I'm thinking that The Wolfman was your favorite movie of the three.
Of the three, production value and acting, yeah, I would say so.
Wow, I take either of those other two movies.
Now, these are three movies.
I like all three of them, don't get me wrong, but I think that the Frankenstein and the original Dracula are better movies, but that's just me.
Well, these three movies are, you know, I grew up watching these on the small screen, on TV.
Of course.
And all three are black and white. And
as they should be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a host of others, which I even mentioned to our host about next year do... the two Thursdays before Halloween, do a set of three and a set of three. Because in at the Jans Mall Theater, he had
Creature of the Black Lagoon.
Creature of the Black Lagoon.
I don't know what the other one
I think
was.
The Mummy and...
Weren't there only two? I thought there was only two up there.
It was either two or three.
Yeah.
But yeah, because those are horror movies. Not monster movies. They're horror movies.
Yeah, they're monster movies too.
Okay.
But
one of the things I like about those kind of movies, they leave a lot of the scariness to your imagination.
Well, they had to.
Yeah.
It was a whole different era.
And I think that's what made, for me, that made them better over the special effects that you see today. So one of the things I liked about
John,
Psycho...
John, you like everything old better than anything new, is the truth. See, I won't
old.
Compare them because it's different eras. It's not fair to compare Frankenstein 1931 to anything in 2014. It's 73 years ago. That's you. That was that right the year you after you were born.
Yeah. No, before.
Whatever.
Yes, after, whatever.
So
yeah, before.
But, yeah, so I'm not going to play the better than game. I mean, you can have your personal favorites, what have you, but they had no choice back then. If you tried to do a Saw movie in 1931, you probably would have been strung up.
There probably was a movie done.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But, yeah, The Creature of the Black Lagoon is my favorite of all those movies. Mm-hmm. I was going through the movies last year at my DVDs, and I found my copy of Creatures from the Black Lagoon. And it's in this great box set, about, I don't know, have 3/4 of an inch thick maybe, and it's got an insert. So when you remove the inside case, there's a transparent image of the Creature of the Black Lagoon on the front cover that stays there. You know, mm-hmm. so it's like a slide almost. And I open it up and I'm looking and there's like two discs in there and I only expected one. And I'm thinking, what's on this extra disc? So there's the train, folks. I told you you'd hear it. That's not what we're hearing. We're hearing the horn, John. But that's okay.
Yeah, but that was the train going down the tracks.
No, that was you going. Anyway, I'm looking at this set that I bought ages ago, this Creature from the Black Lagoon set, and I realized that not only does it have the Creature of the Black Lagoon, it's got two sequels that were made for the Creature from the Black Lagoon. So, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it had all three movies. And here's a trivia fact. Which future Western superstar is in, I believe, The Creature Walks Among Us?
James Arnaz?
No, try again.
John Wayne.
No, try again.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood would be correct.
Ah.
Clint Eastwood plays a lab doctor in The Creature Walks Among Us. Really short role with kind of a comedic line, but it's Clint Eastwood in that as well. So, funny stuff.
Well, you know, speaking about comedic, in the first two movies that I watched, Frankenstein and Dracula, the audience, certain scenes, the audience were laughing because of the acting.
Well, sure. It's a different style of acting
than
it is now. It was... back then, really all you had was stage acting, mm-hmm. so a lot of people were making the transition from stage to film. And even though it's 1931 and film had obviously come a long way, there was still that transition going on, and people kind of were doing an acting job midway between those two. So, yeah, it's all a little hokey. It's, again, 73 years old.
Exactly. But in its day, it was top-notch.
I wonder how those movies were accepted back then. Were they well-reviewed? Were they badly reviewed?
How they were reviewed, I have no idea.
Because that's what's interesting about movies, like about any movie. Movies that end up starting off with terrible reviews wind up being classics. Citizen Kane is famous for not getting good reviews when it came out, and now considered the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah. But you know how my train of thought goes?
Yeah, into the wall.
You know, it's going down that track.
Down the track with that. All right. That's all cool. I love those old horror movies. And the new movies, I like the new horror movies, too. I love the Saw movies. I thought those were just...
Now, see, those I couldn't get into.
They're just no holds barred. Those movies, like, we don't care. We're doing this. And you're like, no, don't do that. And they did it. So, I mean, the storylines weren't the best. But the fact that they just went... balls out. I love that.
Friday the 13th series. The Freddy Krueger.
The difference is that they were just Freddy Krueger less so than Jason. Jason's just a killing machine. The Friday the 13th movies were just an excuse to go see the interesting ways they're going to kill characters. At least Freddy had a little backstory and a little art to it. And the Saw movies, even though I wouldn't say that they've got a little art to them or anything like that, they weren't afraid of doing anything. And I had to admire that.
But when you reference Jason, you're talking about the Halloween movie series.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about the Friday the 13th series.
Jason was in Friday the 13th?
Halloween was the face. Michael Myers.
Okay, now I'm confused. What was Freddy Krueger?
No, not now. It's every day of your life.
Freddy Krueger.
Is Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, I knew it was a street.
We're going to close out with one more song by our feature artist of the week. This is Jubilee Riots. Once again, check them out at jubileeriots.com, won't you? And
I saw a couple other movies this past week.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
A medal?
I saw Hercules.
Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. I have to say it every time.
With Dwayne Johnson.
How was that?
I really liked it. I really, really liked it.
Swell. What else?
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, God. I'm planning on going to see that this weekend. I cannot believe that I have not seen that yet. And it's still in 3D over here at the Regency. So I want to go check that out.
I enjoyed it. As always, stay through the credits.
There's an app on, it's on the iPhone store, probably on Android as well, called After. And what it is, I'm not sure that's the whole title of it. What this app does is it has a list of the movies that are out and about, and it tells you if there's anything after the credits. So if you don't want to stay, you can look it up on, it's Anything After is the name of the app, Anything After. And you can open up this app, look up the movie, and it'll tell you, is there anything after the credits? Yes or no. Is it worth staying for? And is it worth staying for is voted on by people who've seen it, and they'll say either yes or no. You know, so you know, okay, there is something after the credits, so I want to stay and watch it, but is it worth staying and watching? Yes or no. It's kind of a cool little app, so there's a little app push for you, Anything After. Again, it is definitely on the iPhone store. John's looking at to see if it's on the Android
store.
I found
another one which I downloaded, and it's called What's After the Credits.
Same exact app.
Exactly.
With a different title. That's too funny. All right. Once again, this is a Jubilee Riots with a track called Trying Times. This, again, is from their Penny Black album, brand new. Check them out at jubileeriots.com. I will see you next week here on the Backseat Mogul Show. John will not.
No, that's right. I won't be here.
artists you hear on the Backseat Mogul Show are represented by CyberPR at cyberpr.com. CyberPR is a digital PR firm and an educational experience wrapped up in one. Learn how to use social media and online tactics to attract more PR, build your fan base, and make more money with your music. CyberPR at cyberpr.com.
This has been a Rough Edge Studios production.